This is a replay of the Wednesday night, February 18th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. Play requests, too. So got probably all of them spoken for already tonight, but we'll see. Now, always looking for things to talk about, and Engineer Bob is great at sending links, and some of them make me laugh out loud. Duncan Hines has invented a new food. Well, how about that? Actually, it wasn't as strange as it sounded, because I remember, as a kid, my adopted mom was complaining, and she had said, "I wish they'd invent a new animal." I said, "What are you talking about now?" "Well, I'm sick of eating the same old thing." I said, "Oh, so you want to invent a new animal so you can eat it?" Yeah, well, needless to say, that didn't come to pass. And Duncan Hines also did not invent a new food, but they do have a new mix. Now, what's interesting to me in this wasn't the headline versus reality, but you don't really think about it unless you're in the food industry, I suppose, or in the grocery industry. And that is, there is a lot of competition. Now, of course, we know there's competition for shelf space and things like that, but the baking aisle has come a long way, and it has a lot of competition, not among other pre-made or pre-mixed or things like that products, but the reality is that the shelves of, I don't know if they're, you know, baked on the premises at the grocer, or, you know, if there's a rack jobber and donuts or something, whatever it is, the bottom line is that they're fancified. You got bakery-style cinnamon rolls and swirled babka and restaurant-worthy molten lava and all that right there. And so in the do-it-yourself aisle, the boxed Pillsbury's, Duncan Hines, Betty Crocker's, they realize that they're now in competition. They just can't offer the standard brownie, for instance. And so now they're all going out on a limb. And of course, what they try to do is make it in such a way that you can claim you didn't use a mix. Yeah, and somebody's going to believe that? All right, so Pillsbury has introduced pistachio cake. Okay, I'm not going to try that. Betty Crocker has Bridgeton cream puffs. What could possibly go wrong in that? King Arthur's crisp and airy focaccia is now on the shelves. And so it is that Betty Crocker wanted to enter the arena of impressing without suspecting. It started with a mix. And so now Duncan Hines is adding an original treat to the lineup, blending, as they say, homestyle comfort with modern convenience in a way you've never seen before. And what is the product? New crumble bars. Yeah. And the reality of this is it's a layered, old-fashioned dessert featuring a cookie-like base, a sweet, jammy fruit center, and a crispy, buttery crumble topping, a kind of treat that typically requires about 10 ingredients and close to an hour in the kitchen. Well, in this mix, no, they said you can do it all in 30 minutes, and it'll taste like it. The only ingredient you need to add to this mix is a stick of butter. Everything else is within it. right there that's concerned. But nonetheless, so, two flavors at this point from which to choose, strawberry and blueberry. Both varieties are made with real fruit already in the mix, so we assume it's dried in some way. Whole grain oats in the crumble batter, containing no artificial dyes or sweeteners. So they're marketing it initially as breakfast bars for those busy mornings or grab-and-go snacks. But others say, oh, they're versatile enough to do double duty. They make a nice dessert or potluck dinner party, and fans are excited. So that is the deal, $4.49 for the 15.5-ounce box at grocery stores nationwide. If you tried this, let me know how it goes. But the interesting thing is how the competition has heated up for more and more products that are not your traditional pancake mix. So there you have that. Now, while we're on the subject, most people are not making it from scratch. Not only that, most people are not cooking it, whatever it is, they're microwaving it. And so we have the list of 10 foods you should never microwave. Now, the first one is like the in-shell eggs. Yes, they will explode. Is there anybody who owns a microwave who doesn't know this? If not firsthand, certainly from stories they've heard from others. Eggshells are porous enough to slowly exchange, and they can't cope with the rapid steam, and the bottom line is they blow up. And not only can it be a mess, it can damage the microwave, and unlikely but possible to cause physical injury. So they say crack them first in a greased microwave-safe dish. Actually, I've done this, and what I do is I just take a regular drinking glass of water, fill it with about a quarter of a cup of water at most, crack the egg into it, heat it for 30 seconds, and I've got a poached egg. This is, it works so far. I haven't had to move yet. Now, the next one is along the same lines of things that will explode in your microwave, but it's worse than that, and that's uncooked chili peppers. There's a nasty surprise in this one. And the bottom line is that when you open the door, the steam that hits you and all the sensitive membranes in your eyes and your nose and your sinuses and your throat and your lungs are as if they've encountered a stinging cloud. If you've ever rubbed your eyes after chopping jalapenos, for instance, you know the sensation. Only think about inhaling it. It's deeply unpleasant. So don't do this. And the reason that happens, of course, is once again because the whole pepper can explode, leaving that spicy mess behind. But as I say, worse. And what is it? The ingredient that's bothering your sinuses so much is capsaicin. And it's a chemical compound that triggers that burning sensation. And yet, just don't. Absolutely don't. The third one I kind of laughed at. Alcoholic beverages. Now, why I thought this was funny is I thought you must have already been drinking them if you thought about putting them in the microwave. You don't do that sober, do you? Well, whether it's a mug of mulled wine on a snowy evening, spiked hot chocolate after a day on the slopes. Actually, I guess there are a lot of boozy beverages that might be, you might think, well, keep you warm in just a little microwave. And the problem is, once again, they catch fire. Yeah, not all of them, but some of the showy cocktails for sure. The microwave is not a good place to warm alcohol. And if it's high-proof alcohol, yeah, that's going to release flammable vapors that become trapped inside the microwave's walls. And, if there's a random spark, well, you can pretty much see that you're calling the insurance company. Sauces. Now, I found this odd because most of us have used the microwave for sauces. Isn't that a perfect? Well, what they're saying is most people who've used the microwave to heat a sauce have regretted it. Well, I don't do a lot of cooking, but I've never regretted it. And they say, no, it will spatter the interior. Well, you cover it, and it's a mess to clean. But the real issue, and the issue on many of these, is that microwaves heat unevenly. Yeah, and I'm choked up at the thought of it. How about that? And that's where you get into trouble, the undercooked pockets. Not only can that be not exactly taste tempting, but it can be downright dangerous because it might fail to reach a food safe temperature. And they say dessert sauces are particularly temperamental. Custards. Yeah, well, custards, they break into lumps. Sugary syrupy sauces can become superheated and can be a burning risk. Now, plain water. That can be a problem, but I think everybody who cooks with a microwave certainly has boiled some water in it, but you also know that when you're doing that, the surface can be deceptively still, and what's under it, the heat can finally be released, and usually in an explosion that will burn your hands. And I think that most of us know that. But if not, don't just reach for the mug right away. Make sure, you know, that, I don't know, whatever you do to make sure that it's not going to explode on you, do. All right, raw kale and other vegetables. Not even going to discuss it because anything kale doesn't sound good. But here's one, anything you've previously microwaved. Now, I mean, let's face it, you reheated it, leftovers, you didn't finish them, you reheat them again. Well, once again, because of the uneven temperatures, you might be setting yourself up as a petri dish for bacteria. So, don't reheat twice. And the same would go for raw meats, fish, poultry. And what's interesting is most microwaves have that defrost feature on them, and the food experts say, don't even think about it, that absolutely, because of the way microwaves work, can lead to foodborne illness. So breaded and fried leftovers, it's not going to be pretty. Yeah, this probably won't make you sick, though. It will if you were expecting it to taste good. And the breaded stuff just doesn't work. You know, there's a lot of things you'll buy in the frozen food aisle that will say microwavable in your dreams, like pot stickers. No. Just no, not unless you want to eat something that tastes like rubberized food. But the 10th one, though, and the only reason that I looked at this and said, are they kidding me, is that I can't imagine anyone has done this, at least not intentionally. Do not microwave grapes. Who thinks of that? Well, apparently, what happens is this has to do with microwaves and how they operate, which are, obviously a form of radio waves, and the wavelength is 4.7 inches long, and it shrinks significantly upon entering high moisture interior of a grape. So once the waves match the size of the fruit, they become trapped inside. When two grapes touch, they act as a bridge for that trapped energy, resulting in a burst of super hot plasma that can completely destroy the microwave. I know, just as I'm reading this, I know there is some 12-year-old in their room who's saying, I'm going to try that, and you know I don't blame you, but realize that you might be having to work a while to replace the microwave at home. But anything small and juicy, such as a blueberry or a cherry tomato or a quail egg, who eats quail eggs, will have the same potential. And apparently, the deal is researchers who nailed this down went through an awful lot of microwaves in the process. So there you have some cooking things to talk about, but clearly something else is on your mind. If not, I'll just play your request. Coming up, 888-876-5593, 888-88-RALEIGH. But one thing I know, if you put up with me, you love radio, because I'm always talking about it. Well, so you should know about the Sea Crane Company, and probably you do. But if not, and if you can go online, go to ccradio.com. You'll not only see great products, but it's a compendium of information about radio that just makes it a resource. And the deal is, Bob Crane, years and years ago, was as upset with the quality of radio reception in the current radios as some of us DXers were. And he said, I can do better. And he did. And today it's a full-blown company that he still advises but no longer owns, but he's still absolutely designing the products. But nonetheless, the deal is that everything in this company is based upon superior reception, period, AM and FM. And one of the best is the CC Radio 2E. I keep that by my bedside, and I always say, do the litmus test. Take your average radio, turn it to a weak AM station, then take the Sea Crane CC Radio 2E right next to it, turn it to the same station. It will sell itself. I don't need to say anything else. And it's not only terrific AM with that twin coil ferrite in it and all that kind of stuff, but marvelous FM as well. And it's like magic. It will make those weak signals stronger. Now, that said, it's not complete magic. If the signal is not over your head, this is not going to bring it in. The signal's got to exist. But if the signal exists, if any radio can pick it up, this is the radio that will. And not only that, you can control the sound of it with separate bass and treble and all that. And however you want the audio quality, you can have it. And it's just a terrific bedside companion because in addition to all that, it's got the weather band and the weather alert. It's got a clock, a timer, an alarm, a dial light. So it's just just perfect as an emergency radio or your day-to-day alarm or what have you. So go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. Look at the CC Radio 2E. Yeah, that's the one I got by my bedside. John has the CC Radio 3, which is also great, by the way. But that said, if you can't go online, they've got the world's best customer service. And, you know, that's increasingly rare that you actually call and get someone in the United States of America who is in a position to help you. Yeah, I didn't realize how rare that was until recently, and man, oh man. But here in this case, you're calling, you're reaching someone in America, they'll answer all your questions, and you can order right by phone. That's 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, go to ccradio.com. Look at the CC Radio 2E. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is Howlin' Wolf. It was Robert and LaGrange who requested that. Willie Dixon wrote it, and boy, doesn't it sound like it. I love that. Your mama's baby, but your daddy's maybe. Oh, man, don't that say it all. All right, so 888-876-5593. Marty in Indiana, what's up? Yo, Marty.
Hey, Raleigh.
Yeah, what's happening?
Not much. I got to tell you a quick story. This past fall, I was heating up some New England clam chowder in the microwave, and I took it out. You know, I covered with a napkin, took it out once, stirred it up, put it back in, hit it again. And the third time I took it out to stir it, took off the napkin, and the potatoes some of the potatoes exploded and hit me right in the eye. So
no.
Be careful, and New England clam chowder.
Oh, man. Oh, God. And it came out. It didn't explode in the microwave. It exploded right in your face. What a lovely lovely feature.
Right in front of me. I mean, I didn't even walk anywhere. I picked it up, stirred it up again, and then, boom, hit me in the eye.
Oh, God. That's very interesting. And I guess because it's viscous, you know, it's prone to heating. So it can exceed the boiling point without bubbling. So I don't think it was the potatoes, although that's what hit you, no doubt about it. But I think it was the viscous liquid that made that possible. Oh, man. Yeah, I would think, yeah, the paper towel's a good touch. The stirring frequently is a good touch. But, man, I don't know. Maybe you just want to put it in a pot next time.
And then I got a PSA for you.
Okay.
I never knew this until probably about the fall time. You brought up grapes. Do not give dogs grapes.
Oh,
my
absolutely.
My sister-in-law gave my dog a grape or two here back in the fall.
No.
I had never heard that before. So if anybody's listening, don't give your dogs grapes.
No, that's absolutely true. And, you know, most people know about chocolate and things like that, but there's a number of food. Raisins, by the way, same deal. Highly toxic for dogs. And it doesn't matter about the breed or the gender. And you know, in terms of why is that, all I've found is, well, the research is ongoing. They don't know. But dogs don't metabolize tannins, and so or flavonoids or monosaccharides or any of that. So maybe that's why. But nobody knows. So, yes, even in small amounts, it can be toxic. Yeah, so good to know. All right, thanks.
And I want to tell you real quick, thank you. Helped me celebrate my birthday Monday night. I survived my birthday. Yesterday, I survived the brown bottle flu, so.
Oh, good. Well, very, very good. It is wonderful to talk to you. Glad you're doing well and hope to hear from you soon.
Okay, bye.
Okay, thanks. And we'll pick up the news right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Roy Rogers. No, not the cowboy. The Bay Area musician. Doing one of my favorite Willie Dixon records, and actually, songs, I should say. Actually, it is, as far as I'm concerned, the best rendition of Built for Comfort that Willie Dixon wrote and first recorded in 1960 that I've ever heard. And it's interesting because Secondhand Songs has Built for Comfort and lists about 30 or 40 people who redid it. Never once mentions Roy Rogers. And that is just a real miss, because not only his work with the Delta Rhythm Kings, but he is an 8-time Grammy nominee, produced John Lee Hooker and many others, everybody from John Lee Hooker to Sammy Hagar, you name it, and just terrific. And I thought that was a wonderful Willie Dixon song, and I played that because I looked up at the screen and Tom wanted, and Cedar Lake wanted to talk about Willie Dixon. So okay, fine, all right, Tom, thanks for calling.
Oh, hi, Raleigh. Yeah, we were in Los Angeles in 1984, mm-hmm. June, and that would be a surprising place to meet Willie Dixon, but apparently he moved to Glendale, California, mm-hmm. and it was mid-morning, and he was walking into a restaurant, and I recognized him from the picture in the back of my Johnny Winter album, and spoke to him, you know, for a while.
Yeah,
I was from Hammond, right next to Chicago, so
sure.
I was, you know, he was a little, you know, a hero, and all those, especially English groups, had covered his songs. But I never knew anyone that had actually, well, one guy that had actually seen him at the Blues Fest in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the old guys with the upright bass on the
sure.
afternoon on the small stage. Even though I knew his songs, I had never seen him. And toward the end, as he was going in the restaurant, somebody wanted him to come in, but he was sitting there talking to me, and I said, "Oh, I really like your covers." I said, "Especially, you know, the Led Zeppelin covers." I swear I said that, and this is in contention, you know, because this isn't exactly how things go if you research it, because they...
Well, he won that lawsuit.
Well, that would have been 1 year before that lawsuit,
okay.
About exactly, because that lawsuit happened a year later, and I think he got $500,000 from Led Zeppelin. The last thing I said as he was closing the door was, "I hope," he acted like he didn't know about him, and I said, "I hope you got paid."
Yeah, boy. Well, maybe you fostered that. I don't know. But yeah, he got the money, I think, in 87. It was an out-of-court settlement. It was a lot of money. And
well, I was thinking it was 85, because yes. Mellencamp also gave him
yeah.
some money. Mellencamp was never sued, but he said he made money on
yeah.
plenty of blues songs, singing them on his early career, and never paid anybody. So he donated $500,000 to Willie Dixon's charity that provided a musical instruments for Chicago school children.
Yeah, nice. That I think Willie's wife took over after he passed and kept that alive. But
yeah, I used to see photos of her at his shows and that.
Yeah, so
videos and stuff like that.
You know, sadly, by the 70s, he was less active because he had type 1 diabetes and it was just terrible. And
he was a rather large man.
Yes,
dressed in black, walking into a restaurant in Glendale, California, afternoon. I was kind of out of it. We had spent a late night out, and instead of going to Planet Hollywood, we ended up at the Fatburger Shack at about 3 a.m.
So I was kind of worse
for wear at about 11 in the morning.
that sounds good to me. Yeah, he died in Burbank beginning in 1992, as I remember. But yeah, it was really bad. He lost a leg prior to that because just the diabetes was literally eating him alive. And when they did the funeral, he was the body was carried by a horse-drawn hearse through town and all that stuff. And basically, he was buried at Burr Oak in Alsop, Illinois, ultimately, even though he died in Burbank.
And the scandal out there, remember that?
Yeah, so there you have it. But Marie Dixon took over the Blues Haven, I think, and moved the headquarters to Chess, which is kind of interesting because, of course, Willie had his issues with Chess, even though he was very prolific there. The one thing he wasn't getting was, as you could guess it, royalties.
That seems to always be the deal.
Yeah, he and Muddy Waters sued Chess's publishing company, ARC, and then he started his own publishing company, Hoochie Coochie, but that was much later. Most of the stuff he had done was earlier. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was, I haven't been back to California since. I keep hoping to go, but we were actually there to go whitewater kayaking a little further north, Bakersfield and Kernville and north.
Okay.
And just happened to be visiting friends in the LA area. So
up to the California Delta. Yes, indeed. That's where.
But someday I'll tell you my John Mellencamp story. That one's even longer. So.
Okay. We'll swap John Mellencamp. I used to see him all the time at the Dairy Queen in Seymour when he was a kid because I'd stop there when I was living in Bedford.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, you lived in Bedford.
I lived in Bedford. Yes,
that.
Lawrence County. Yes, absolutely. So Highway 50, on Highway 50.
I was in Bloomington in 1981. Some friends of mine leased a house right across from Dunn Meadow, across from the campus. And
sure.
It was kind of the party house with a multicolored roof. And Mellencamp and his guitar player would show up there.
Yeah.
Among everybody else on campus. It was right next door to the well-known Roach Motel, which was another rental unit that had a sign out front called Roach Motel, in case anybody knows Bloomington landmarks.
And appropriate, too, indeed. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you for calling, and I can't wait to hear the full John Cougar Mellencamp story.
Okay, I'll give you that. Maybe he's touring this summer, so maybe we'll hear some of his songs.
Oh, good.
And I can... Okay,
thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, absolutely. So, he was a kid. I guess he was probably just out of high school or whatever. And, Seymour was a big kind of cruising place at the Dairy Queen there right off of I-65. Don't you know? All right. So, we got Mike in Elmwood Park. We got John in Covington. And we have room for you two coming up right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Tavares, I have a real weak spot for them. Love Tavares. And it was Mitch in Baghdad who wanted to know if I'd play Must Be Missing an Angel, 1976. And I just thought that was a terrific record produced in L.A., Freddie Perren, of course. So 888-876-5593 is 888-ROLLYE. Mike is in Elmwood Park. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Raleigh. I was wondering if I could get about three requests on.
Let's hear what you want.
Okay. Smoky Places by the Corsairs.
Okay.
Rhythm of the Rain by the Cascades. Right. And You Belong to Me by the Dupree's.
All right. Cascades. Okay. And You Belong to Me. Okay. Absolutely. It won't be tonight, probably, but you will hear them all.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a good evening.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, Dupree's. Love the Dupree's. Okay, so her entire career was basically reenacting pop standards, but doing it very well, I might add. So we've got John, and John is in Covington. So what's happening tonight, John?
Well, I just thought I'd share, since I can't hardly see anymore, it's not terrible, but, you know, blind in one eye and only have 30% in my right eye, so I thought I'd give you all one of my trade secrets on collecting silver coins.
Okay.
And I still do it. I just have my wife do it, look for them. And what you're going to do is you're going to take $10, all right, and you're going to go to the bank, and you're going to ask for two rolls of dimes. And hopefully they give you the rolls. They're not made out of paper. They're made out of plastic, okay?
All right.
And what you're going to do is you're going to be able to see the copper or the silver, okay? If it's silver, it's going to be extremely white. You'll be able to tell, believe me, because I can almost still be able to tell.
Uh-huh.
But you'd be surprised. I've been doing this about 6 years now since I've been retired. Just that one little move, that one little secret I'm telling you. I've been doing that about 6 years since I've been retired. And don't you know, to coin a phrase, I almost have a complete roll by doing that of dimes, 50 dimes. And look at it this way, too. Suppose you don't get any. Well, you know, there's a lot of good charities at the end of the year that you would like to have that. So,
well, let me ask you. Okay, so let's say you get a complete roll of dimes with a certain silver component. How much silver is in that dime?
90%.
Okay, and what does that weigh?
Well, I used to know. I don't know. But
yeah, in other words, I'm wondering how many dimes do you have to have, assuming they're silver dimes, to make 1 ounce? Because that's
I want to say 9, but then again, too, something tells me that's not right.
Yeah.
But just here's what you do is. A coin dealer with any, it's like $80 or $85, okay? A good coin dealer will pay you, where it is now, he'll pay you 50 times face value. So for that 10 cents, okay, one 10-cent silver dime, you paid a dime for it, you take it to the coin dealer and you get 5.
Yeah, I was just looking, and the first thing I saw said it takes 140 dimes to equal an ounce. I don't know, but it's interesting. Yeah, I'm sure you could do that, and it would be a hobby of sorts. And of course, silver fluctuates dramatically. I mean, we've seen it this year alone from like $1.21 an ounce, I think high was around that, to as low as 66 bucks an ounce, which of course is still high, but it does fluctuate. So I guess if you want to collect it and then wait till the strike price is what you think is good. Cash it in. Why not?
Well, I'll tell you, my father, I think I told you what he did for a living. He repaired jukeboxes and pinball machines. He worked for a company that did that. Well, in his toolbox, he would carry five rolls of silver, not silver quarters, regular quarters. Mm-hmm. He'd carry five rolls of quarters. And the reason he did that is you wouldn't believe the kids that play the jukebox and the pinball machines, and they rob Grandpa's stash of silver coins.
Interesting. Well, I looked it up, and so now we'll know. Of course, the dimes we're talking about are pre-1965. 14 dimes equals one troy ounce of silver. Quarters, six quarters, and again, this is pre-65 quarters. Half dollars, three of them. Basically, you're looking at about $1.40 face value to wind up with maybe over $100. So that can be good money. Of course, you know, there's a little bit you're going to lose in the transaction,
one roll of silver dimes at $5. They're $5 a roll. So
right,
you're going to get $250.
Well, nice.
Yeah. Now, I did want to tell you one more thing, and I know you're not a movie person, but for those of you who are, I want you to listen to the song. Raleigh, you don't have to play it, I'm not saying that, but for those of you like Lisa, you're into old movies, listen to the song Celluloid Heroes by the Kinks.
Okay.
That's all I got, Raleigh.
All right,
thank
good
you.
Deal. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, I like the title. All right, so there you have that. But yeah, that actually, if you, especially if someone in your life was a coin collector, you know, maybe grandpa or something like that, yeah, 14 dimes or six quarters or $3.50 going to equal an ounce of silver. And right now, it's a little lower right now. I think it's $76 an ounce today or something like that. But earlier, last month, January, it had reached like $1.21 or $1.26, which was like, whoa, boy, $126 an ounce. So yeah, whoa, boy, not bad. So 888-876-5593. Yeah, sad commentary that our money actually used to be worth something. All right, well, that's been a while. Now, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. But if not, well, we'll just continue to talk. For one thing, bringing up what is toxic to dogs. Again, everybody, I think, is aware of chocolate. And now you're aware of grapes and raisins. But there are some others. One of the ones you might not realize is just deadly because of liver failure to dogs, and that's xylitol. And that's an artificial sweetener, and, you know, in sugar-free gum or candy or, you know, a lot of things. And it causes rapid insulin release and liver failure in dogs. So if you're feeding your dog anything, make sure there's no xylitol in it. And so, yeah, the chocolate and the caffeine and the grapes and the raisins, but also onions, garlic, and chives. And that will damage the red blood cells, leading to anemia. Macadamia nuts and walnuts. Right, we're talking tremors here. Then alcohol and yeast dough. Well, actually, the alcohol and yeast dough do what they'll do in you. They'll bloat you. But the difference is the bloat in the dog can easily be fatal. So as far as other things, some of them you should know, but maybe others you don't. Antifreeze, obviously, ethylene glycol. That's toxic even in tiny amounts. And, you know, every now and then when we're driving, we'll listen to the Dateline shows, you know, the murders or whatever. And I can't tell you how many people think it's a cool idea to poison someone with antifreeze. Of course, then again, some of the products you see from China, every now and then you'll see a report that the toothpaste had antifreeze in it. So, you know, I guess it's in a lot of places, but nonetheless, it doesn't take a lot to be a problem. Obviously, the pesticides and anything against, you know, the rodents or the household cleaners, clearly. But all medications, you know, the human pain relievers might be good for you. They're not particularly good for your dog, to say the least. And, you know, that's it. As far as plants, the sago palm is highly toxic. Lilies are extremely poisonous. Azaleas, oleander, castor beans, and tulips. And so that's the potential dangers for your pet. And I was reading one article, fabric softener sheets. Well, where exactly is your pet going to get? I can only imagine. 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. Avocado is also on that list, by the way. A number of things that that we might not think of. Hopefully, if you're a pet owner, you've done the research, because it is interesting that things that you might think are very good for us, like avocados, forget about it. Yeah, cherries, tomatoes, mushrooms, on and on, things your dog should not have. So what else do we have? We got, again, Engineer Bob sends me these wonderful links. And, of course, I've also got Carol's old show prep I could look at last year and just updated by year. And also Chase's calendar of events. Yeah, there we go. Next hour, we'll find out what's going on this Wednesday, February 18th, which, of course, Wasatch Wednesday. And still is for another hour or so. But also, it doesn't always occur like this, but today is the first night of Ramadan. So two holidays in one on the 18th. And there you have that. So plenty of things to discuss, and we will next hour, hopefully with you on WGN Radio.
Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, whether I find a place in this world or never belong, I gotta be me, I gotta be me. What else can I be? I want to live, not merely survive. And I won't give up this dream of life that keeps me alive. I gotta be me.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and I didn't think of it on my own, believe me, but it was Lisa in Dundee who gives us such great stuff for Monday Night Trivia, who said, will you play I Gotta Be Me? I said, anything for you, Lisa, and there it is, Sammy Davis Jr., 1965, on reprise. So, as you would expect, a number of things that are somewhat interesting, and such as Chinese New Year. Which is not just Chinese, as you may know. A lot of Asian countries celebrate Lunar New Year in different ways, and so Vietnam and Korea and all that. But Chinese New Year is celebrated in places that are home to significant Chinese populations, you know, New York, Vancouver, you name it, but also the Philippines and a number of other places, places in Australia and all that. So it goes on everywhere. And if you're wondering about the firecrackers, this is to keep the evil beasts at bay. Chinese mythology, don't you know, that there was a monster who lived under the sea or inside of the mountains, depending upon where you were living when you were telling the story, that was said to eat people in the night. And it especially had a taste for children. So the old man decided to light red firecrackers to scare the beast away from the villages, and the old man turned out not to be just any old man, but a deity, and who was there to rescue the villagers from the evil monster. And but the deal is that the color red and the explosion of the firecrackers scared the monster away, and to this day they're lighting them up. So that's of course, expect to eat lots of dumplings, lots of noodles, but they each have significance, which I didn't realize, and that is the deal. As far as noodles, they bring longevity. Sticky rice balls represent familial closeness. A whole steamed fish is a symbol of prosperity, because you can afford it, I guess. And then the dumplings, or the potsticker, so to speak, which are said to look like little money pouches, favor the thought of bringing wealth to the eater. So eat up. And of course, it's Lunar New Year, so it's about the moon, don't you know? And we had our new moon on the 17th, at 5:01 a.m. So yesterday, and so that is the deal. And of course, that's the lunar calendar as well. We use the Gregorian, obviously, but each lunation cycle takes 29.5 days. So therefore, it's a little harder to come up with the months. The months in a lunar calendar alternate somewhat between 29 and 30 for the most part, but a lunar year is 354 days, 8 hours, 48 minutes, and 34 seconds long, which, of course, is about 12 days shorter than the 365-day solar year. So, therefore, the date of the new year vacillates, and it always begins on the day that the new moon appears, which is somewhere between January 21st and February 20th every year. So that's the deal. And children receive money in lucky red envelopes. That's a nice little feature as well. So in addition to Ramadan, you have to fast during the day during Ramadan, but you can eat at night. You got Lent, of course, that goes without saying, you know, all about that. And now the Lunar New Year. All right, so we were talking about, something close to nothing but different from the night before, I do suspect. And I was just listening to the weather earlier and realized that, we always kind of talk about Arizona weather being so good while everybody else is just suffering. That's true, of course, in winter for the most part. In summer, it's the reverse. Yeah, we're boiling. But today was unusually, it was 0 degrees for a while in Flagstaff. And, you know, I remember when I was first driving the interstates as a kid, I would drive everywhere. And, you know, I would expect weather in all the places you'd expect weather. But it didn't occur to me, a couple places, didn't occur to me that it was going to be bad. And when I say bad, worse than any place else, at least I was going to say on Earth, but I can't speak to that, in North America. And one, of course, is Truckee, but the Donner Party says that all, so I don't need to go there. But the other is the shock of shock. I'm maybe 17 years old at that. I'm on I-40 and Route 66 at the time, but I-40 later. And Flagstaff. It snows in Flagstaff. Get out of town. It is ridiculous, the amount of snow. And I'm like, I'm in Arizona. Yeah, well, so northern Arizona gets a lot of snow, and they did today. And the rest of the state is glad, because we're hoping that will turn into water that will fuel some reservoirs and other stuff. But yeah, quite a day today in Flagstaff. You know, the usual schools closed and all that kind of stuff. Now, so that's all the news there. I had we were talking about food earlier, and surprising things that we eat. Well, sometimes it's surprising names of food. I think we all know that duck sauce has nothing to do with ducks. Exactly how it became duck sauce, I don't know, but it's made from apricots, plums, or peaches combined with sugar and vinegar. And I think that it was served with duck in Chinese restaurants, so it became duck sauce that way, as more of an adjective. Here's one. The English muffin. Well, they don't come from England, and they don't look like other muffins. And apparently, it was a British immigrant to the U.S. who began selling toaster crumpets in the 1800s. And the American consumers branded them English muffins, and so it was. Then there's the German chocolate cake. Yes, the German chocolate cake, not from Germany, popularized in Texas. The name refers to Samuel German, an American baker, who created the delish, and it is delicious, German chocolate cake at Baker's Chocolate Company. And a Texas homemaker later used it in a layered coconut pecan cake recipe, and newspapers spread it with that name. So there you have it. Welsh rabbit. Yeah, no duck in duck sauce, no rabbit in Welsh rabbits, or rarebit, as I'd always heard it called. It's actually melted cheese served on toasted bread, and sometimes flavored with the ale or mustard or spices. Yeah. Yeah, I remember Welsh rarebit burgers. Some of the department stores used to serve that, loved it. The little department store restaurants they used to have all across America before everything was Macy's or Or the other one. I can't even think of the other one. That's Dillard's, yeah. All right. So a Welsh rabbit was a tongue-in-cheek jab, likely implying the cheese was poor man's meat in Wales. And then there's Rocky Mountain oysters. I'm sure you know all about that, bull's balls. And there's nothing oceanic about it. It's actually bull or sheep testicles, usually battered or deep fried, and served as bar fare or ranch festivals, yeah. And, you know, it tastes all right. Bombay duck, well, don't expect actually any duck in this. Don't expect any Bombay in it either. It's a dried fish, and it's locally known as bombeel, and it's eaten in India. And so the name, some theorize it was derived from the mail system that transported the food, the Bombay duck, which translate to Bombay mail. Puppy chow. Well, some Midwestern states enjoy a homemade candy called puppy chow. I do not know if Illinois is one of them. If you do, maybe you've had experience with this. It is not meant for dogs. Usually it's made of cereal, chocolate, peanut butter, and powdered sugar. Lovely. The same snack goes by other cute names. Yeah, Monkey Munch, Muddy Buddies, or what have you. Oh, then there's sweetbreads. No bread, no sweet. A grossly misleading name, to say the least. Sweetbreads are the thymus or the pancreas of young animals, prized in French cuisine for delicate, tender texture. The sweet refers to their mild flavor compared to other organ meats. The bread might stem from the old English word for flesh. Lovely. See, I always thought they were brains, but it's just as bad. Thymus or pancreas glands, are you having Scotch egg? Scotch egg is not Scottish, and apparently it is close. Some place the origin in London. However, others say London, heck, it's Indian. And apparently it's a hard or soft-boiled egg wrapped in sausage meat, breaded and fried. And then there's good old French toast. Well, just like French fries, the origins are disputed, and the classic breakfast recipe is actually more ancient than the name implies. Egg soap bread, fried in fat, goes back to ancient times in Rome and pops up across Europe for centuries under the names like Pain Perdue in France or Arme Ritter in Germany, and around forever. I always think of French toast. Every time there's going to be a blizzard, you go to the grocery store, and I don't know what it is about snow, but people want to make French toast because they're all there in line checking out with their milk, their bread, and their eggs. And you say, oh, French toast again. Well, there you have that. Mincemeat, no. Most people think of it as ground beef, but apparently it's a pie filling that doesn't always involve minced beef, but it once did. A traditional mincemeat once did contain actual beef or mutton mixed with dried fruit, spices, and suet. Ugh. Over time, the meat fell out of favor, but the name stayed. So there you have it on misleading food names. Yes, it's come to that. Probably time to play another one of your bumpers, and maybe we should get started on the other three of Jimmy's six-pack. He always has good taste, so we'll go there next on WGN Radio.
I wake up crying after tossing and turning and yearning the whole night long. Birdie, baby, since you went away, I've spent a happy day.
WGN Radio. Raleigh James and the fourth of Jimmy P's six-pack. Yeah, Chuck Jackson, I Wake Up Crying, 1961 on Wand, and that was an early Backrack David composition. So there you have that. I got two more of Jimmy P's six-pack, both of them excellent, the Nutmegs and the Spaniels. So does it get better than that? I don't know. All right, so we have a great need for your calls. But if not, well, I'll just prattle on. Unlike a Monday night trivia when I can't answer the questions if I'm asking them as well, I can talk about nothing. And I specialize in it, actually. And on this February 18th, of Wednesday, the 49th day of the year, just ending with 316 remaining in case you're counting, who was born on this date? Shalom Aleichem, who was an author, a humorist. He was Russian-born. And they say that the musical Fiddler on the Roof is based upon his short stories, Tebby the Milkman, I think. So, yeah, he was born 1859, died in New York, 1916. What else do we have? Helen Gurley Brown, born on this date in 1922, died in 2012 in New York. And yes, everybody knows Cosmo. And she actually was a copywriter. And then she went on, wrote a book, Sex and the Single Girl, in 1962. And yes, you can imagine that took off like wildfire. You know, isn't it interesting how the pendulum swings? Like right now, when you're listening to the news or whatever, you're hearing about the horrors of Epstein and all of the sexual shenanigans. And you go back 50 years, and you've got people promoting anyway, anyhow, with anyone at any time, anywhere, right? And so Sex and the Single Girl, advocate for sexual freedom and breaking the mythology that women should be good girls. All right, and then, of course, Cosmopolitan, where she was steering women toward careers and dating and beauty and diet and, yeah, and everything else. So, yeah, and selling a lot of magazines and advertising there within. So, but it is. I think about the pendulum often, how we go from one extreme to the other. And now, I don't know that anybody would have seen this coming, where people were just, frantic about going in the other direction. But here we are. All right, Toni Morrison would have been 95 today, and she was actually born Chloe Wofford, but she was quite the literary artist, to say the least. And the Nobel Institute noted her intricate novels of carefully crafted prose. Yeah. It's National Democracy Day in Nepal, February 18th, and that's been since 1952, and their constitution, which was enacted at that point. Also, the discovery of Pluto. Well, we discovered it. It was always there, obviously. 1930. And, of course, Pluto is very controversial these days. Is it a planet or is it not? It seems to vacillate back and forth. And given the name of the Roman god of the underworld, the ninth planet of the solar system. Well, then, in 2006, astronomers said, no, it's a dwarf planet. And so August 24th is the Pluto demoted anniversary. And there you have that. What else do we have? The Mars rover 5th anniversary space milestone. 2021 on this date, NASA never made its final descent to the red planet. Well, I guess, there's something to celebrate, or not. So let's see. What birthdays on this date other than Shalom Aleichem? Well, let's see. Juice Newton, born on this date in 1952, and she was born Judy Cohen in Virginia Beach. Yoko Ono, still alive. How is that even possible? 93. Molly Ringwald, 58. Sybil Shepherd, 76. John Travolta, 71. Vanna White, 69. Yeah, there you have it. Born in Conway, South Carolina in 1957. And that's pretty much it for the 18th of February. But not to be daunted, Carol came up with a lot of stuff too. But in the meantime, I've lulled you into a desire to call. And I don't know what I would have read next, right? It might have come down to food labels. It's hard to tell. But let's see. Mitch in Baghdad has called, and hopefully he heard his request. So, all right, Mitch, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Ollie, I heard you needed a caller.
Oh, do I? Yes.
So I usually call on Thursday, so I thought, what the heck?
Yes, now, did you hear your request? I played Heaven Must Be Missing an Angel.
No, I never did. You mean Heaven Must Be Missing an Angel?
Yes, I played that three records ago.
Well, I don't listen anymore after I'm off or whatever, so maybe you played it when I
Well, hold on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are, and we'll tell you exactly when we played it right after the news right here on WGN Radio. Maybe we'll play it again. James, that record's going to be 50 years old in a couple months. Yeah, it came out in May. I was in Louisville at the time. I was just listening to that and thinking, man, everybody I knew, and I had some really good friends there too, every one of them is dead. That's Johnny Randolph and Bill Bailey and Gary Burbank and Jerry David Malloy and Dave Burns and Mike Densford and Charlie Jenkins, and on it goes. Yeah. I'm the last person standing who wanted that honor. So, all right, Mitch, you got to hear it again because I really like it.
Yeah, I do too, and I did hear it the last time, but I thought, that, you know, this is great. I've never heard my bumper before.
Oh, really? Really? Well, yes, if you were listening an hour ago, you would have heard it then also.
I thought that was so funny that last time I said, will you play Fifth Dimension's Dawning of the Age Aquarius? And you said, no.
No, I won't do that.
So funny.
I have limits.
You're just so honest. But anyway, what happened to me yesterday, I was supposed to buy a car, and I was talking to this guy on the phone. When you put that you're interested in the car on, like, social media, you just get swamped with all these car dealers.
Yeah.
So this guy, and they're all just, they say everything, but I don't have any credit. The last time I bought a car, I paid cash, which is a mistake if you're trying to get a loan.
Well, I would only buy a car for cash. I don't want to finance
anything.
Well, yeah,
but I don't have any money now.
Well, so you save up until you do. What are you driving now?
No. Oh, no. When my father died, I inherited some money, and I bought Mark and me cars, and we're still driving them.
Well,
but now they've got like 200,000 miles on them.
Well, mine have more than that, and I'd say keep driving those 200,000 miles, open a bank account.
Just keep fixing them?
Yeah. Well, sure. Yeah. Put your payments into the bank account every month like you were paying it off, and then when you've got enough, buy a car. Now, when you say fixing them, you know, like I have the lucky Z28. You know, it was payback for all the bad Corvettes, and this car is, you know, now 31 years old, and I've never had a major repair on it, and it's got a quarter of a million miles. Now, I've got an Escalade that's got about 300,000, And no problem on that. I've got another Escalade that I'm going to be dumping. But, you know, it depends.
Our Jeep has 400,000.
Okay, and they will, especially if it's got a nice V8 in there.
No, this is the second engine. We had to replace it.
All right. And I've done that, too. But I would say anything you can do not to be in debt is to your advantage.
Yeah, I don't want car payments.
Yes, and then you shouldn't have them. So start your bank account,
well,
your car fund.
No, what I was going to do is both these cars are, we're horrified that one of them is going to break down and then we'll have no car. So we need one car that's kind of up to date that doesn't have all these problems.
Well, it shouldn't take too long to save enough money to buy a reliable
car.
No,
I don't, Raleigh, I don't have to. My mom died, and now I get another inheritance.
Well, then wait for that.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait, because I'm trying to push my sister into co-signing for me, and she refuses.
And I can understand that. You should, by the way, build up credit. The easiest way to do that is with credit cards. If you have to do a collateralized card at first, that's all right, you know, where you have a bank account and you deposit $500 and then they report it. I never, ever, ever would advise using credit cards and paying the interest. You pay it in full at the end of every month, but start building.
Oh, okay.
You know, then there's never any fees. You know, and you've actually, basically you're using their float. So for 20 days, depending on when you buy something, you don't owe anything. As long as you pay in full at the end of the month, there are no interest charges whatsoever. And
I need someone like you to give me advice.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird because I don't have any children or anything and I have no responsibility. The only person I have to take care of is me. So it's like, I don't care if I have bad credit and they all hate me because unless they can come after me and arrest me, I don't care.
Well, that's true. But the benefit of having good credit is that in the event you have the kind of emergency where you really need the money.
Where you need some money.
Well, you'll get it at
a
better rate.
Elon Musk would loan me money?
who knows?
Did you hear he tried to buy a car and they turned him down? They didn't know who he was?
No.
Is that really
true?
Yes. I don't know. Is that true, Mark?
Supposedly, he was someplace away from, you know, out traveling or something, and he needed to buy a car in a hurry.
Okay.
Walked into a dealership and has no credit because he's a billionaire, and he didn't get a car.
Well, apparently,
and then he bought the place and he fired all of them.
Well, apparently, according to, of course, artificial intelligence. If you want to believe that, and Google, they're saying is no, but it's a somewhat related event occurred in January 2016, which inspired the anecdote, where a 2016 stolen Tesla, a customer who had a Tesla, Marty Piranik, claimed he ordered Tesla Model S, and it was taken by Elon Musk for personal testing, and that Tesla employees were avoiding his calls regarding the missing cars. The mix-up was later clarified that due to human error, a car from the test fleet intended for engineering was incorrectly assigned for sale to a customer and then retrieved for testing rather than an intentional act by Musk. But the bottom line is, this guy Marty buys this car and Tesla and, Elon Musk takes it to test it. So, of course, Musk is saying, I did not take anybody's car, never would. The car was actually allocated to the engineering tests, not by me, and inadvertently sold. So, nonetheless, that's a great story. So, all right, moving on. Moving on. Next.
Oh, you want to hear my story?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Let's hear it.
Oh, okay. Well, what happened was, I'm talking to this guy for days, right, and he says, oh, he can put me in a car, and, you know, I said, I have no credit, I have terrible credit, and like I said, I've been turned down all the time, and I just keep trying, and then, so he goes, oh, come all the way to Fort Knox, and I'll get you a car, and I was like, I said, if you don't sell me a car, can I kick you in the butt, and
oh, no.
He just kind of laughed, and I said, no, I felt like saying, yeah, I'm serious, but anyway, he didn't sell me a car, but so anyway, it was just the idea that I even stayed all night at a hotel room so we can. I got there real late, and so I could finish the paperwork or the next day. And they wouldn't tell me the car price, and they wouldn't tell me what I would get for my Miata for the trade-in. And I thought, isn't it like obvious? Can't you just? I mean, isn't it like in black and white? No, because they were making the prices up.
Right, of course.
So they were seeing how high they could go without, you know, getting caught. So the next day, I stay all night and everything. I go in there the next day, and then I said, okay, it's a 2016 Jeep Sahara, and it's a 10-year-old car. I said, how much do you want for it? And he said, $22,000. And I thought, I can get a 2022 Sahara for that price.
Right.
And then I said, how much are you going to give me for my Miata? And he's like, he said, well, in its worst condition, maybe $3,000 or something. And I thought, Mark looked on the internet and he said, I could get six for it. It's a 2011 Miata MX-5 hardtop touring car. And so I was like, well, I'm not, you know, you're not getting my car to trade. And then I'm not no fool. I'm not paying. I don't know what the payments would have been, but I'm not buying a 10-year-old car for new car prices. So he actually said an obscene, you know, I don't want to say it on air, but, and I thought, like, I just can't believe how rude you are to your customers. And, like, it's just like, don't you think they're going to tell people about this?
Yeah. All right. Now,
so anyway, this is my revenge, really.
Right.
I don't know if we hear it or not, no. But I was like, I hope he does. I mentioned Fort Knox, so that's kind of a hint
right.
of who it is.
All right. Well, now let me tell you, don't ever think that you won't get credit because you have bad credit. You will get credit even if you have the worst credit in the world. The difference is you will pay more for it. It becomes the hard money. And if somebody with great credit has a 3% deal, for example, you might have a 13% deal. So there's always someone who will give you the money, but at a ridiculous price. And that's the reason you want to build up credit for the future so that if you need it, you won't be paying out the nose. Don't ever say, I can't get credit. You can.
Well,
you will just pay more.
My mom would sign for, she would co-sign for my cars, and I paid them off and everything, and I did it twice. I bought two Patriots. And so they said that counts for something, even though it was a cosigner. You did it. You paid them off.
Well,
so
you should be pulling your credit reports, which are free to do. Annualcreditreport.com. Annualcreditreport.com. Nowhere else.
Yeah.
Because that's not a scam. And that's directly from the government that they'll give you. And you'll get it from all three bureaus. You'll get it from Experian, from the people who had ChoicePoint, Equifax, and TransUnion.
Mark finally have the same bank now, and they have this checking account. All your change, like from a dollar, rolls over and it goes into your, what's it called? Roundup. It rounds up and it goes into your savings. So I figured that's a way for me to save money without, you know, doing anything.
Well, and that's perfectly fine, but I do want you to build up credit so you've got it. Because that emergency could happen, and it's a real relief when it's not an issue. But good. I'm glad you didn't buy the car. I'm sorry your mom is gone, but I'm glad you're going to
I was her gay son, so I spent more time with my mom than anybody and the other kids, because anytime I was in a relationship and things went wrong, they say you can't go home. Well, that's not true. I went home and I lived with my mom. And so I was like happy. I actually loved being at home because I had a bunch of brothers and sisters and I never got any attention. I had to share it with everybody. And now that they're all gone, it's just me and my mom.
All right. But if you're going to come into the cash, then wait for that and then get the car.
Yeah, I'm going to. She said it would be the end of this month, but she's been saying that for 2 years. So.
Now, wait a minute. I thought this was happening because your mom had passed. All right, your mom's alive. Where's the money coming from?
No, you said she, the sister.
No, that's Monica. I'm sorry. Oh. Monica's my sister. She's the executor of my mom.
Oh, okay. Will. All right. But your mom's no longer with us.
Well, she's in charge. Her and I don't know.
Okay.
I think. One of my other brothers and sisters, I think Mike, one of the twins, is in charge. And so she's putting mom's house back together again, like from scratch. She's changing the floors and, you know, painting it and doing all this stuff. And she's already got a buyer, I think, with someone we went to school with. So we get to split it six ways. So I get a little bit. It's not much, but I get something. But it's enough to buy a car nowadays, but I couldn't buy a truck.
All right. Well, good. It sounds like all's on track.
Yeah, I guess. But I want it now, though.
Don't we all? Yeah.
I want my car now. I don't want to wait.
Yeah, patience is a virtue.
Yeah, but not if you die before you get what you want.
Well, do you have a fatal disease? Are you in the late stages of something?
No, I do, but it, I have the cure, too. I'm HIV positive, but I've been HIV positive for 26 years, so I don't think I'm going to die.
No, well, and that, sadly, in the past, that wasn't.
I mean, me and Magic Johnson, I don't know. He was one of the first. So.
Well, not one of the first, but, yeah, I remember that when that came up around 1990.
Greg Louganis, it was Greg Louganis, Magic Johnson, and who's the one on men, what's that, men,
Hudson.
No, one of the brothers, this drives me nuts. Anyway, he kind of has a bad reputation for drugs and stuff, but anyway.
Oh, Sheen.
Yeah, Charlie Sheen.
Oh, you're right, okay.
He's positive.
All right, well, a number of people are, and they've made such inroads on that.
Not a big deal.
No, and not like it was, but as far as.
I take a pill every day. Well, I had AIDS for like a year, and I knew I had it, but I didn't want to get the results, because I thought if I have to take 40 pills a day, I'd rather be dead. So, it's just one pill a day, so it's not a big deal.
Good.
But like I said, the good thing about it, though, it's antiviral, so I have not had the flu in 26 years.
That's great.
Or a cold. I don't get sick. I can't get sick.
Yeah, right, exactly. All right. Well, good. Then carry on. Keep on keeping on.
Okay, and I tried, like I said, I did this because I'm normally a Thursday night guy, but I tried to help. You said you needed help.
Thank you.
We're going to Waffle House for breakfast
because
I don't want to cook. So.
Good, absolutely. Well, enjoy every morsel.
Oh, thank you.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
So, actually, AIDS goes back, HIV anyway, they think, to 1969, when a teenager died in Missouri, and the tissue samples were preserved and then analyzed much later, and it revealed HIV-1. So that was the earliest case. Nobody knows. And before that, of course, you've got the Congo, and that goes back to the 50s, as far as that, 1959, I think there was a guy in the Congo. But there was a sailor in Norway in 76, and then, of course, Denmark, the Danish physician who contracted it while working in Africa. So, and it used to be a death sentence for many, many people, but the strides are such that, you can live a long and active life with that, and thank God for that. All right, so 888-876-5593. We've got Elizabeth in Rock Falls coming up next in her car accident. We've got Karen, we got Fran, we got Jim, and we thank you for bailing me out. We got another hour of this on WGN Radio.
I'm coming home, coming home to stay. I'll never, never, never go away. You know I love you forever to call you mine. While I was falling, heaven meant time. When I was feeling modified. For I know you are waiting for me to return. I started calling out to you. You won't believe me, baby, I was true. A little kiss and far as I will go. You know I love you. Yeah. I'm coming home, coming, stay. I'll never, never, never go away. You know I love you forever. To call it my own.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's the fifth of Jimmy P's six-pack, The Nutmegs, Coming Home, 1957 on Herald. All right, so we are going to check out the news again, and then I want to hear about Elizabeth's car accident. Got Karen, we got Fran and Chuck and Cynthia and Elizabeth and Jim and Richmond, too. So, oh, good. I won't be talking to myself next hour. I'm already thrilled about that. All that coming up on WGN Radio.
Boom, 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 boom.
Woo! Woo!
Said you loved me, and I started laughing. You told me that you needed me, but I kept on laughing. You found that you wanted me, but I was still laughing at you. I learned to love you, and started laughing. I told you that I needed you, but you kept on laughing. I vowed that I wanted you. Now everyone's laughing at me.
Boom, 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 boom.
Laugh and the world laughs with you. Cry and you cry alone. I hear the whole world laughing, and I'm sitting here all alone. How could you be so rude? Well, okay, keep on laughing.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Spaniels. 1957. Everyone's laughing. And that is the sixth of Jimmy P's six-pack, and six fine choices they were. Always a pleasure to play. All right, so now, Elizabeth in Rock Falls. I believe we're talking car accident here. So firstly, are you doing all right, Elizabeth?
Yes, no one was hurt, thank goodness.
Oh, good. And Mr. Chubbs is fine?
No, he's had an upset stomach, but not because of my car accident.
Okay.
I've been giving him Pepcid, and he's feeling better.
Oh, well, good, good. Now, that's interesting, because, of course, you're always worried about he eats too much with the upset stomach. Was he eating less?
No, he still ate, but then early in the morning it would come back up.
Oh, what a mess.
So he had acid reflux.
Oh, God, just what you need. So tell me about this accident.
Well, I hit a person who was running a red light.
Oh.
So my front end hit their back side.
Okay.
My airbag didn't deploy or anything. I wasn't going fast.
Good.
But I did a lot of damage to my car.
It's easy. Yeah, sometimes you look at those and say, how can this happen? 5 miles an hour and it's destroyed.
Yeah. I needed a new hood, a new grill, a new bumper, a new headlight. I don't know. There was some more stuff.
Well, now, the person running the red light sounds like he was absolutely at fault.
Right.
So
I didn't get a ticket, no.
Therefore, his insurance should be paying for this.
Right. And my insurance company's taking care of everything for my car, so.
Well, and they're probably subrogating to his policy,
right,
because you don't want it to affect you. Now, let me ask you this. Sometimes with insurance companies, the big fight is they want to total a car at the drop of a hat when you want it repaired. So are they actually going to repair it?
Oh, it's already repaired.
Oh, then, hey, you struck pay dirt. Good.
Right. I told him I love this car because my husband bought it for me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to give it up.
Yeah.
So the adjuster looked it over and he said, oh, yes, it can be repaired. So
good.
And they did. Beautiful job.
Good.
It looks like new.
Excellent. All right.
But my problem is I'm just really nervous now driving. I feel like people are coming at me and I don't know. I say a prayer before I back out of my driveway.
Yeah.
But then I've lost confidence or something. I don't know how to combat that.
It's tough as far as that goes. But firstly, you're doing the right thing when you're driving, thinking that everybody else is drunk and blind and or otherwise homicidal. Because you do at this point in time want to be that careful. But with that in mind, that shouldn't stop you from driving and it shouldn't stop you from, you know, making the best moves. In other words, sometimes you're hit with fear and you just don't do anything at all when you probably should have done something. But I would say keep driving. Now, you might want to be on streets that are less traveled. You may not want to be on the interstates or the highways, but
I have to be on the highway to get to town.
Well, absolutely. That's usually not true, by the way. It'll take you longer, but almost everybody can avoid freeways if they really want to do it. Have you ever tried to look at routes that would change that?
I'd have to go way out of my way.
Are you sure?
To go to a different road back to the town.
You're sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm on the non-freeway plan now for vision reasons, and I've discovered there's nothing I can't get to on a surface street. May take a little longer, but I can get there. And
I'll keep looking.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and I drive a lot, because when I'm driving to Globe, that's well over 100 miles each way, and I'm doing it with zero freeway miles. So it can be done. But
I am driving very carefully.
Good.
And only when necessary, actually.
Well, I would do as much as I could, actually, in terms of that, so that you'll be more comfortable again. You know, the more you avoid it, the worse it's going to be.
Okay.
So I would say I'd get behind the wheel, go to the grocery store, go to the, you know, drugstore, whatever, so that you're, you know, and of course some of the most dangerous places in the world are parking lots. We know that. But still, you know, the only way to, you know, get your sea legs, so to speak, feel like you're comfortable again, is by doing it.
Just keep doing it.
Yeah.
Now they're building a huge truck stop 1 mile from me.
Oh, how nice.
Oh.
Oh, that's lovely. What's wrong with the truck stop? They probably have a fast food court. They probably have a fast food court and 24-hour fast food there, right in the truck stop, and plenty of pumps.
You know. Didn't get a job there.
Well, I don't know that you want to do that, but it might be something if you need convenience items in a hurry. So sure. Sure. I used to say that, you know, the 18-wheelers were the best drivers on the road, and they absolutely were. The tables have turned in recent years. It's not like it used to be.
Yes. When I have to drive to Iowa City on 80.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's just truck after truck after truck, and you never know what they're going to do.
And that's so sad, because, as I say, used to be they were the best. They were the road angels, no doubt about it. But now, and you read about it too, people who are, you know, behind the rig of an 18-wheel don't even really have a CDL, you know, or got one in some way that we don't want to know about. Frightening as hell, no doubt about it. But you know, you're going to do it. And I'd say the more you can get, even on the roads that you're comfortable on, the surface streets around you, the more you drive, the better off you'll be. Because if you start not driving, it'll become much worse.
Okay. I'll take your advice, Raleigh.
Yeah.
I trust you.
Yeah. Well, no, really, it's like anything else. You know, the more you do it, the more comfortable you'll be with it. And I don't want to see you where you get to a point where you just can't drive at all, because then your independence is shot when that happens.
No, I don't want that to happen.
Exactly.
Never. Well, someday it will. But not
well,
now.
Right. Well, I hope I go before that. But yes, it may.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm sorry to hear it. Glad the car is back. Glad Mr. Chubbs is okay. But sorry that you're having to clean up the vomit, or worse. And
well,
oh God.
It's hard having a dog.
Yeah. Well, it is. Yes. But he's certainly given you a workout, but a lot of love also.
Right.
All right. Well, always good to hear from you. Keep driving.
Okay.
Let me know where you're going. Take me along for the ride.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Good deal. Bye. So, I miss driving interstates and stuff, but, you know, I'm not wholly stupid in terms of endangering myself or others, so I just don't do it. All right. So what do we have? We have Cynthia in Chicago. All right, Cynthia, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, thank you. I've been on hold for so long. I'm not complaining. It's Wednesday. I'm a Christian. I'm not complaining.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
I have to say, Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, right. No, it's absolutely, it's Ash Wednesday, you're right. And for our Muslim friends, it's also the first night of Ramadan.
Right, and I'm not going to complain. I'm just saying you have made such a difference in my life. I can't thank you enough. I'm a nurse, a little burned out lately, and repeat after me. There's nothing sadder than a perky blonde who's down in the dumps.
Oh. Well, yeah, because a perky blonde really can't sing the blues. It just doesn't work. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about self-absorbed and how this world is.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
I'm seeing some dark times lately, but your callers really keep me going when I think, woe is me, and I never think that. I can't sleep because I listen to you.
No. Well, sleep is sacred. No. Turn off the radio. Go to sleep.
No. My best friend says, Cynthia, that's what happens when you get older. And I'm like, no. No, so anyway. But the other thing, I just want to say, first and foremost, thank you. And my dog, Rocket, is going to be 12 years old in April.
Yeah.
And he was newly diagnosed with diabetes. And it's been really touch and go. I'm not making a bad joke. But I don't have children. I always wanted them, but it's another story. I'm divorced for, like, eons. But anyway, it's really touch and go. And people will understand if they have fur babies that, you know, babies and kids tell you what's wrong. A dog can only tell you, you know, what's wrong by listening to him and paying attention. But it's really touch and go. But he's doing okay so far. And I just want to say thank you for keeping me on this earth because not to be emotional. Nurses really get stressed. And I've been really seeing dark times lately. And I just want to say thanks to you and tuning in to WGN. You and Wendy Snyder, I will only listen to. Forget the others. No, forget the others. I'm telling you. No, it's what's it called when you're like, it's what's it called? Help me with this. When you know it's like the old boys' club or whatever that belong, and you're not part of it.
Sure.
What am I trying to say? You and Wendy are not part of the old boys' club at WGN because if they let you go and Wendy go, forget it. I'm out of here.
Now, firstly, what kind of a dog is Rocket? What's the breed?
Rocket, yeah. He's a Maltese and Shih Tzu combination, but no, you look at him and I've had a Shih Tzu, Jackie, but he passed. But no, you look at him and he's mainly Maltese, black and white.
All
right. Black and white Maltese.
So we have to keep
guess what? He's 14.8 pounds. Since yesterday.
Wow.
He was down to 11 when this was diagnosed.
Wow.
Well, so now he's doing,
you know, you're taking good care of him, and I'm very glad that he is a small breed, because when you're saying that, you know, 11 years old and all that, if he was a very large breed, I'd say, uh-oh. But with a Maltese, you may have several good years. Now, the next thing is, while I appreciate your thanks, I'm humbled by that, because you do the real work. You're the person who makes the difference. Nurses don't get half.
Forget about it.
Oh, no. No, are you kidding? No, yeah, that's right. Right. But when somebody's sick, you know, especially if they haven't been sick before, you know, sadly, I'd like to say that the doctors make all the difference, but it's the nurses who really give you the care. And it makes such a difference that I'm sure it burns you out. And that's horrible. But what you are doing is making a tangible difference to people.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And then, you know what? The latest thing, well, I don't know how late it's. We were with the state of Illinois. I don't know about the other states. The state of Illinois says we're no longer with our licenses listed under professional registration. It's like we're not listed as professionals anymore. Are you kidding me?
An RN?
Are you kidding me?
An RN is not a professional?
A registered nurse in the state of Illinois, I don't know about the others, are not any longer considered as professionals.
That's crazy.
Is that a joke or what?
That's absolutely crazy. Now it's not like you're it's not like you're a CNA or even an LPN.
Nothing against the CNAs.
No,
are you kidding? I work with the best.
Right, absolutely. You know? But it's a different level of education, just like the LPNs. But for an RN, many of the RNs are also holding bachelor's degrees or masters, and so they want you to become a nurse practitioner before they'll consider you a professional.
I don't know. I'm so devastated by that news. This was a few months back. It's like, are you freaking kidding me? And my colleagues feel the same way. Are you freaking kidding me? I don't know if Orange Face, and I'm not going to say anymore, if that was his idea or what, but are you freaking kidding me? Are you freaking kidding me? I mean, I didn't get my degree on a matchbook cover.
Well, no, absolutely. But I'm wondering, you know, when I hear something like this, there's a story behind this. And I'd love to know what the deal is in terms of that.
Money.
Well,
Of course, it's money.
But I also think it has to do with federal loan debt and on a federal level that there's something where they're making a shift.
It has a lot to do with our current administration, but I know your show is not about that,
right?
But you're absolutely right. Money talks, BS walks, or something like that.
But that's just so wrong all the way
around. I'm devastated.
You should be.
Teachers, God bless them. I've worked, in many areas, and teachers, God bless them. They're still considered professionals. A registered nurse with degrees is not considered a professional. How sad is that?
I'll bet you this has to do with federal loans, federal educational loans. I'll bet you.
Well, you, Riley, you amaze me. You amaze me with your wide range of knowledge. You just totally amaze me. You do. You really, really do. And I'm sure it does. But I didn't want to go on that agenda. I just want to say, I'm losing my voice. Thank you so much again. Thank you for keeping me laughing and waking up, staying awake when I don't have to work the next morning. But God bless you. And God bless all your callers. I can't think of their names right now, but they have helped me so much. So thank you so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure. But again, thanks.
Funny thought.
Yeah. Tell me.
Here's a funny thought. I was on my way to the vet yesterday to pick up Rocket
because
he was going through testing. Guess what? I was like, OMG. Traffic was awful. Guess what? I drive a Toyota. It's an SUV, but not, luxury vehicle. This a moron in a Porsche almost rear-ended
me. Oh, no. Oh, no.
No. And because of that, I had to miss my exit. Okay.
Oh, no.
Such a hurry. Oh, my God, he drives a Porsche, or is it Porsche? I don't know. But I had to miss my exit and go to the next exit. And my vet is calling me to say, Cynthia, are you okay?
Oh, God. Oh man. Yeah,
morons that drive luxury vehicles,
Yes, and they feel self-entitled because of it, and they're not violating the traffic laws. They're trying to violate the laws of physics.
Yeah.
I know. The only thing I can say is hopefully they paid for that car in full, and if they do hit you, hopefully you're going to make out like a bandit.
Do you know? That's what I was thinking. I thought, you know what? Okay, Porsche, hit me.
Yeah,
okay?
Right.
God, keep me safe. I brace for impact because I'm a flight attendant as well. I brace for impact, and it's like, you freaking moron. No, and I didn't word that because, you know what? He might have a gun. I might get shot.
Oh, yeah, right.
So I didn't say that.
Exactly. What? But, yeah, when you see that car, they have a bunch of accident attorneys here, and there's one where his commercial is, I've been in a wreck. I need a check. And so now every time I see one of these, I'm like, I need a check.
No, that's not going to be me. I'm not going to do a commercial. No, no way. No, I'm just glad to be walking and talking.
Yeah.
I don't want your money. Okay, you freaking moron.
I'll take it. Send it to me. But absolutely.
Raleigh, thank you.
Right, well, thank you. You too,
God
and call me again. All right, thank you
colleagues.
So much. Appreciate it.
Of course.
All right.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, God bless.
Yeah, how nice. And that's just horrible about the RN thing. Yeah, and considering all that people like Cynthia do and how little thanks they get for it, that's a slap in the face, and I'm so sorry to hear it. All right, but I'm so glad she called. I hope she will again. 888-876-5593, 888-88-RALEIGH. And what do we have coming up? Karen and some hot dogs, Fran and stuff, and Jim and Richmond and Chuck and Rockford. And all right, we got another half hour here on WGN Radio.
Red down, red all for your feet. Take you home with me. Put you in my house. Boom, 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 boom. Ow, 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 ow. I love to see you strut up and down the floor. Talking to me, that baby talk, I like it like that. Whoa.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and John Lee Hooker. Pretty sure that's the version that Robert and LaGrange wanted. Boom Boom is what he requested in 1962 on VJ. So, not to make it political, but I got to share this one comment because I was just looking up more about the nursing schools and what's going on with nursing degrees not being classified as professional anymore. One person was hilarious. Let me find this. Well, based on Chicago, I think all political science degrees should be considered non-professional. I love it. All right. Well, that's funny, but the situation isn't, and we'll leave it at that. All right. So 888-876-5593, and we've got Karen. Karen is in Chicago, and my magic twanger is failing me. Oh, there we go. So, Karen, welcome to WGN Radio.
Okay. Hi. You know what you were talking about, the food earlier, the different names? Now, how in the heck does, for hot dogs, it just, you can either get wieners, frankfurters, hot dogs. How does that come about?
Well, hot dog is actually because there were frankfurters originally, and then during the war we didn't, yes, you're there. I'm here. Are you here?
No, yeah, I couldn't hear you at first. Okay. Can you hear me all right?
I've heard you the whole time. All right, here is the deal. Frankfurters were obviously German and linked to German sausages and all that. Well, during the war and all that, just like we didn't want to have French fries and all that, well, we didn't want to have frankfurters, so we have hot dogs.
Right.
So that's what.
But where did wiener come from?
Well, probably because of the wiener dog, so to speak. I think the long dachshund dog, because the immigrants introduced the sausages that they were comparing to the dachshund.
Sure.
And so the jokes at the time were that they were made of dog meat. And then...
Oh, God! Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there was a cartoonist, and when I say a long time ago, I mean like 1900, a cartoonist who drew a hot dog, a dog in a bun, after hearing vendors shout, "Get your dachshund sausage!" at a baseball game.
Oh.
And he couldn't spell dachshund. And so the cartoon, though, has never been found. So whether that story is accurate or not, but it's around there. But the deal is that it was the German immigrants who brought the tradition of eating the Frankfurters with the bread here. But then, of course, we didn't want to say Frankfurter during the war, so we have hot dog.
Oh, no. Yeah. I also have a request.
You do, do you? And what would that
I would like to hear Forget You by CeeLo.
Forget You? Why do I know?
Yeah, it was by CeeLo. Oh, God, it was a few years ago. Believe this or not, I asked Alexa to play it, and I had forgotten the name of the artist. Well, she gave me the correct tune, but it was Believe This or Not by Camilla and the Chickens. Now, all you got was these people trying to cluck in tune.
Oh, God.
I said, oh, God.
Oh, God.
Who would do something like that?
Oh, well, you know,
and
I mean,
remember
a lot of people
artists,
would do that. Remember Ray Stevens with In the Mood with the clucking?
Oh, that's right. I forgot. But, God, that was the most horrible thing.
All right. Well, we'll avoid the clucking, and we'll get you CeeLo and Forget You.
Yeah, I think his name was spelled C-E-E and then L-O, but
yeah.
I'm not real sure. I think I saw it in Braille.
No, that is true. It's C-E-E-L-O, and the L is capital, but it's one word, and then Green is the last name.
What was his last name?
Green. CeeLo Green.
Oh, okay.
And,
Green. Oh, now I remember. But I don't know. Something made me think of that song. It was a comment that was made by our friend in the White House. And my first thought was, Forget You. And I thought, you know what? I remember a song by that name. And I saw it, and I finally came up with it.
Well, that's the clean version.
I know. There was another one.
Yeah, the original one, that's right, was the F word U, yes.
The F word U.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was nominated for multiple Grammys, I'll have you know. One for Best Urban Alternative Performance. So, yeah.
Really? I liked that song.
Yeah, all right. Well, sure. Sure, it's about a guy seeing his ex-girlfriend with a wealthier partner, and that's why I guess the change in my pocket wasn't enough for you. Forget you. Yeah, right. Can't afford it for my rate. All right, yeah, all right, I'll play it.
Well, thank you so much.
Sure.
I'll be listening for it.
Okay, you will hear it. All right, let me write
and
down.
And thanks for taking my call.
Always,
have
appreciate it.
Have a great night.
Thanks, Karen. All right, so yeah, CeeLo Green. Tomorrow night we will do that. Now, all right, Fran and Austin, welcome back to WGN Radio. Fran left us. Well, I think Fran was calling to keep me company, and bless her for that. I am indebted. I appreciate that. Is Jim in Richmond still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, what's up?
First off, I wanted to mention you said a new moon. Did you know that yesterday there was a solar eclipse at the southern part of the hemisphere?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, because my friend Cher, she feels all those things. And she had that. And then my other thing was, how was the retinologist today?
Things are stable. No good news, but no worse news. So that was good. Thanks for asking. But, you know, for whatever reason, I'm always there like 3 hours. It takes forever. And,
yes.
You know, that. And the other thing you can relate to this is that you haven't seen bright lights until you're dealing with a retinologist. I mean,
I'll tell you right away, yes, 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 yes.
Right, exactly. Because it's like, if they really want to torture the enemy, forget about everything else. Just use these lights. It'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I was explaining to John, I said, no, there's no pain, but it's just, it's unbelievably uncomfortable. So
I feel the pain.
Oh, you do? No, well, then the other thing is, you know, she was amazed. She said, well, you know, are your floaters anywhere? So I said, I don't have floaters. And she said, oh, you have floaters. I said, well, see, and then she looked and she said, but your vision is too bad for you to notice them, isn't it? I said, well, I don't know why, but I don't notice them. And she said, yeah, it's because you just can't see them, but they're there. But anyway, it's not worse. So I consider that a victory.
Right. And did you try my banana?
I have not, but I tell you, the next time I get a banana, you know I'm going to do that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And my third thing is about my CC radio.
Yes.
At Christmas, I bought the EP Pro.
Yeah.
But I didn't read or anything on the directions, and I finally found out that the knobs on the front are not preset buttons, but they're for tone and everything.
Yes, exactly. They're not presets. Anytime you get a slide rule dial radio like that, it won't have presets.
Right. And then I got the, whatchamacallit, I bought the batteries.
Yeah.
They were $6 a piece.
Oh, my God.
And it was four for $24.
Are they rechargeable?
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you know if they're rechargeable?
I hope they are.
Normally
at the Sea Crane Company, if they were selling you batteries, they would sell you rechargeables, I would think.
Oh, good, because I...
But do you have a charger?
Oh, yeah, it came with a charger.
Well, then that's what it is, the rechargeable batteries. That'll be fine.
Okay. And because of the fact that lately, I'm wondering if it's getting back down to the charge, because all of a sudden there will be a large impulse in the, you know, the volume will go up tremendously and then drop down. And then the next time it'll be where it's a lot of static and stuff, and I don't know if that's the batteries going down.
Probably not. So, the batteries shouldn't give you a static problem. But if you have questions, you know, that's the nice thing about their customer service is 24/7. They'll answer your questions. Don't hesitate calling them.
Well, I will call them tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because they're not 24 anymore.
They're not? When did that change?
No. All I know is when I called to order the radio, they said you'll have to call back between 6 and 8 or something like, you know, 9 and 8 or something like that.
Oh, well, that's horrible.
And that was back in December when I bought the radio.
Oh, I did not know that. I thought it was 24 hours a day. Oh, dear. But somebody...
when you get a...
Someone answered.
When you get a... Right. When you get a break, you just give it a call. And it'll say, leave a message, you know, we'll call you back or something like that.
Yeah, no, I see that. Now I'm seeing, all right, how about that? And, of course, you can email, too, but all right. Well, that's good to know.
Right. You can email. I can't.
Right. Well, but you could set it up. You will, ultimately, you will be setting it up so that you can. That's your goal.
And then you asked if I was going to the retinologist, and I said it's not until March 11.
Yeah.
But in a minute, and whatchamacallit, he wants to go out.
Yeah, right, I'm sure. That's so funny.
But I wanted to tell you, my retinologist just got back into town. He was at the White Sox. He's in charge of their eyes.
Good.
They all have to go through a physical when they start training camp.
Okay.
And he does all their eyes.
Okay.
So that's where he was for a week. So I'll let someone else talk.
Yes, because it is time.
It's
the call of duty. You don't take that dog out, he's going to become more vocal in a minute.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you for everything, and you have a wonderful evening.
You too. Appreciate it. So, yeah, that's a dog wanting to go. All right. Now we have Joe, a first-time caller at McHenry. So, Joe, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
All right. How about yourself?
Good. I have a question on cataract surgery, and in particular, toric lenses when they do the cataract surgery, if you know anything about them and the risk compared to the standard lenses.
Okay, it's not really, there's no more risk involved in the surgery for what lens you pick in terms of that. But in terms of your satisfaction, right now my number one choice would be the light adjustable lens. And definitely talk to your ophthalmologist about that, because that way, if the diopters are off or whatever in the prescription, they can fine-tune it as long as it takes to get you what you need. Now, I assume you've got astigmatism.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. I never thought I had it before. But back in September when I was going to get an enhancement for LASIK surgery, that's when I found out I had the cataracts.
All right.
And the astigmatism, I also have a nearsightedness. In one eye, it's minus 6, and then the CYL, which is, I think, the astigmatism, is minus 0.75.
Yeah.
And then in the other eye, it's minus 3.5 for the nearsightedness and minus 1 on the CYL, which I think that's the astigmatism from the eye chart.
Yeah, your minus 6 is pretty much definitely nearsightedness, but it's pretty healthy nearsightedness. It's not in any way really bad, but it's there. And so
yeah, well, minus 6 to me, because I had a minus 9 back in 2008 when I had LASIK surgery, and then it came out down to 1.5 or 1.25 or 1.75, something like that.
Well,
is how they were able to correct
that. So if it was minus 9, what we're talking about is you probably have fairly long eyes. Now, why this is important to the, at least the eye that had minus 9, why this is important to the equation is that the longer the eye, the more likely you are, still not likely, but it's more of a possibility to have detaching retinas at some point. And you want to watch that. Now, firstly, there are other complications because you've had the LASIK surgery. So the most important thing is you choosing a doctor who is extremely familiar with all of this and has done a ton of these surgeries, because that's what will make the difference. I mean, LASIK is a factor in this, but it doesn't change the length of your eye. And so it doesn't change the risk of detaching retinas.
Yeah, and that, I mean, right now, like I said, currently it's a minus 6 and a minus 3.5.
Right. But you see that,
different eyes.
And that's fine. That's because of the LASIKs, but that didn't change.
Right.
But that didn't change the length of your eyes, and that's what is part of the equation when they're looking at that. Now, the cataracts you have, are they posterior or are they in the back? I mean, where are the cataracts?
Oh, that I don't know. I don't know. I didn't understand that.
Oh, all right. Well.
The I thought there was just one. The cataracts was just one thing that they replaced one lens and put the new lens in.
No, well, that they do that, but there's posterior subcapsular as well, and it probably actually isn't. But there's a lot of moving parts to this. Yes, it's one of the most common surgeries performed all the time, but the idea that it's just simple and no problem, this is not necessarily true. You want somebody who's done so many of these that they could do them in their sleep. And
I guess this guy's been doing it for at least, I say, 10 years.
Well, and has he been dealing with a lot of cases of people who have had LASIK surgery and also people who have had nearsightedness? Because, again, even though you're a minus 6 now, the length of your eye is like a minus 9, or you wouldn't have been a minus 9.
Right, yeah,
so,
if I didn't have any LASIK.
Oh, well, it wouldn't have mattered, is what I'm saying. That wouldn't change. So, you know, cataracts can develop in a few different areas. So you might want to ask more about what you've got. And, you know, in some, I assume that it's affecting your vision, and that's why you're doing this, right?
Well, I see, okay, yeah, but you start seeing a bit of a fogginess, and they told me that I had the cataract when I went to the eye doctor for glasses.
Yeah, right. Well, if it's not really affecting your vision, this is something you can wait on. They're probably nuclear cataracts, which are in the center of the lens, and the nucleus will darken with age, and it'll become yellow and all that. But then there's cortical, but posterior capsular cataracts, and that's in the back.
Oh, that's the other thing. In the one eye, that's a minus 6.
Yeah.
If you and I never thought to look at this except I started reading about it, and that the one eye sees like colors. If you look at a TV screen, you'll see the colors like a deeper like color, and then the other eye you'll see a little bit lighter of those colors in the
Well, it's probably a nuclear cataract. But again, if you're not at a point where this is affecting your day-to-day habits, you don't have to do anything. And in the meantime, what you can do is learn a lot more about it. Like you're asking about the different lenses.
Well, this has been going on since September. They've been doing all the testing
stuff. And they'll say all they want, but it's still up to you in terms of that. And, they should be able to give you all the lens choices. And ultimately, these are going to be your decisions.
Well, he said I was a candidate for the standard one or the second one that will fix the astigmatism.
Yeah, the torque,
so I don't have to wear distance glasses as well. But there was a one with trifocal or buy some other type
of stuff. Yeah, and
he said I wouldn't be a candidate for that.
Well, and all of them, by the way, have downsides as well as upsides, and you can read about that. The people who are dealing with the implants where you can see
close up.
Well,
I've got the first surgery scheduled for like March the 9th.
Then I guess you're on your way. But if it were me, I'd be learning a lot more before I said yay to anything.
Like, what would be key questions to ask?
Well, firstly, like you said,
I'm going to talk to him about the lenses tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Talk to him about the lenses and mention the light adjustable lens and see what he thinks about that, because that would be my first question.
Okay.
And also with the toric lens, yes, they'll deal with the astigmatism, but if your astigmatism isn't that bad, it may be a moot point. But
it's like a 0.75.
I'm not talking about it that way. I'm talking about how it affects you, not how it is on paper.
Oh, I don't know, really, it's affecting me. I mean, the glasses help
along
a lot better.
Yeah, they're corrected for
it. My glasses.
Well, John says I got to go. All right, call me back again earlier, and we will talk at length about this, Joe. And in the meantime, while I normally don't say go look at Dr. Google, I will this time say you can get a wealth of information just by searching for it, including a ton of ophthalmologists on YouTube who have some very interesting videos. And if you really have an interest in that, you'll find every aspect of it there. So I would check it out.
The more I look, the more nervous
I get about everything. It's not a question of nervous. And by the way, you don't have any of the indications where I'd say I really see a problem. You know, if you told me, hey, I've got uveitis, or I've got severe dry eye. Before correction, my vision was a minus 20. You know, now we're talking about some problems, or the real problems. You don't have those. The only thing you have is a complication is you've had the LASIK surgery. And, that's not a big complication. So I'm not telling you to be nervous. I'm just telling you to be informed, because there may be things you want to know about that your doctor's not going to bring up.
Yeah, because I've read about the rotating of the lens.
You're right. Right. The one in a million chances and you're afraid, oh, my God, I'll be blind before Tuesday. No, it isn't like that. Don't go there and worry, but go there and see what's available. You might find something where you want to talk about it. And John's saying, I got to go like right now. So I will say thank you. Goodbye. All right.
Thank you.
And in fact, I think that we're in commercials. So I guess the show is over, is it not?